morning, everyone. And we're continuing our greater series today. And today I want to talk to you about living with personal breakthroughs. Living with personal breakthroughs. That's just a reality of life in Christ. We need personal breakthroughs. And so today we're going to look at that. And my suspicion today is that there's many of you that need a breakthrough. And I can say this, if you don't need a breakthrough today, I'm predicting that by the end of the year you will need one.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, and it is good because when I say that, I'm not projecting a negative prophecy over your life. So here's the deal. When I was younger in the Lord, gung-ho for Jesus, as I am now, but gung-ho for the Lord, I would talk to young people about, like, come on, let's storm the gates, let's bombard the gates of hell, let's win people for Christ. And I don't know why, I think just in my naivete and not really thinking things through, I think I just assumed when I shot at the enemy, nobody shot back. That's what I thought. I just thought, we just go get them. And how many of you know when you're shooting that way, he's shooting back? So the truth of the matter is that as Christians, if you're a threat in any way, shape, or form to the kingdom of darkness, then I'm just speaking matter-of-factly, then you're going to get shot at. Okay, so let's just face that. The good news is this: Jesus has already won the battle. Okay, when he went to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, he defeated the enemy. And so what we need to do is stand in that authority and recognize that even though we're in a battle, the battle has been won, but there's a process of engaging and participating in the victory. I'm going to say this, okay? If you don't need a breakthrough and haven't need a breakthrough for a long time, you might want to take your spiritual temperature. Seriously. Like, if your business hasn't been shot at, if your relationships in your family haven't been shot at, if you don't have anybody shooting at you, then you got to ask yourself, how dangerous am I? Okay? So here's the very positive news. If you have taken any shots, I want you to know you can hold your shoulders back and say, God, I must be doing something right. I must be moving the kingdom forward. I must be in the battle. And so today I want to talk to you about breakthroughs because we're supposed to experience them, and we will experience them, and we will win them. But there's some principles that I want to share with you that really help us get there. One of those is learning to praise God continually. Okay? You need to learn to praise God continually. And you think to yourself, well, okay, that just seems like kind of ABC. But let me share this with you. When your back is against the wall, hence, when you need a breakthrough, your back is against the wall. If your back's not against the wall, then you don't need a breakthrough. But if your back's against the wall, then you need a breakthrough. And let me just say this, when your back's against the wall, you do not feel like praising God. Praising God when you need a breakthrough, in other words, if we connect those two dots real quickly, we see that praising God when we need a breakthrough runs counterintuitively to what our flesh feels like. Let me give you some examples. If you need a financial breakthrough, It's because you're not getting enough income to meet expenses, and you may have a bill coming due, and you don't have the money for it, and how do you feel? I know when I feel in that predicament, I feel terrible. I mean, I feel rotten. I feel anxious, and I feel more anxious because the Bible says I'm not supposed to feel anxious. So now I feel guilty because I feel anxious. If you've been to the doctor and had some negative news, or you've been living with some negative news for a year or two or more, you feel likely fearful. What's going to happen? Am I going to die? These are real feelings. If you've got a relationship problem, like you got in a war last week with somebody at the office, and you said something and they said something, or maybe it's with one of your children or somebody else, and you feel hurt, you feel angry, you feel taken advantage of, yet you need a breakthrough, but you feel all these feelings. If you're here today and you need a breakthrough because you're addicted to something, let's just be honest. There's people who come to church who have addictions. And tell them I'm busy, okay? And I appreciate that. Happens to all of us, so no worries. But if you have an addiction, you come to church, you put on a smiley face, likely you're hiding that addiction, and you don't like it. You wish you weren't addicted, but you are. And there's feelings of hopelessness, like you've tried everything you can try, but you can't seem to break it. Your back is against the wall. There's shame that goes with it too, because you're hiding. What I'm saying is this, is when your back's against the wall, it is counterintuitive to praise the Lord. So I'm just being honest. And yet, there's some wisdom to praising the Lord. And I think today, if I can show you the wisdom to it, it will create the initiative. See, a lot of people get stuck in that dilemma when their back is against the wall and they don't praise the Lord. But the reason why is they don't have any initiative. Like, show me why. I mean, I know I should, but just telling me why isn't enough. Here's the initiative. I want you to understand this, and I'm not picking on this side of the room. You guys are just as spiritual as that side, okay? But just for visual, let's just say you're here and your back's against the wall and you feel some of those feelings that I talked about earlier. You feel fearful. You feel lonely, you feel discouraged, you feel helpless, you feel angry, you feel all these things. Well, let me just ask you, how does Satan want you to feel? All of those things. Thank you, Rob. All of those things. That's how Satan wants you to feel. And so when you stay here without moving, you're giving tacit, passive agreement to Satan that that's acceptable. I'm not saying you're waking up in the morning going, you know what, I want to be on Satan's team. That's not what I'm saying. You know, when I was younger, I ran with the wrong crowd. I didn't always do bad things, but I ran with the wrong crowd. And sometimes the people in the crowd did some bad things. I was giving passive agreement to the wrong crowd. Whether I did it or not, I was giving passive agreement to the wrong crowd. And when I stay stuck here, I'm giving passive agreement to Satan that that's okay. And I just stay stuck here. Now, here's the initiative. And I want to tell you, I don't like fake anything. I don't like fake anything. I don't like fake Christianity. I don't like it. And I know you don't either. So I'm not going to tell you to put on a happy face and just cheer up and how are you? Oh, I'm great. I don't like that stuff. And you don't either. There's something that goes against our inner being that we know that we're not being authentic when we fake it. Here's what I'm saying. Take your bad feelings and go over here with your bad feelings and praise the Lord. I'm not telling you to put on a happy face. I'm just saying praise the Lord. It's okay to come to God and say, you know what, Lord, I feel really cruddy. I feel really afraid. The bill's tomorrow. I'm nervous. The doctor just gave me the C word and I don't like it. Yeah, my son, he and I have been estranged and I don't like it, Lord. I don't like being addicted, God, but you know something? Here I am and I'm going to praise your name. This is real stuff today, okay? Now, sometimes my feelings change. Sometimes they don't. I'm not going to give you any more pie in the sky and tell you that just because you praise the Lord, you're going to put on a happy face. Sometimes you won't. But I will tell you this now, listen closely, now you are in the will of God. Amen. Do you see the initiative? Do you think I'm in the will of God over here? Absolutely not. I'm giving passive agreement to Satan to just stay here and not praise the Lord. I am not in the will of God over here. I feel rotten. I feel terrible. I'm just stuck here, not going anywhere. Over here, I'm being honest with you, I still feel rotten. But now I'm in the will of God. And where, friends, do you think breakthroughs happen? Yeah, you're right. Right here. Right here in the will of God. David had his back against the wall. King David had his back against the wall many times in his life. I think sometimes we read the Bible stories and all we see is, you know, the giant killer and the king and the glorious king and the one who praised God and the one who was a man after God's heart. And all of those things are true. But sometimes we look at these characters and we forget the fact that they messed up too. Like they're a lot more like you and me than what we tend to think. This man after God's heart did commit adultery. This man after God's heart was hunted like a dog by a king who really was so jealous of him. He hunted him in caves and he lived like an animal going around just trying to protect his life. This guy actually had to move to Philistia because he didn't even feel safe in his own country. So he's living in Ziklag and he goes out. Get this, he's so desperate for approval, he's actually gone to the king of the Philistines and said, I'll fight with you against my own countrymen. And the princes of Philistines say, we don't think so. We think in the thick of battle you're going to turn on us. So take your men and go home. And the Bible tells us that when David and his 600 men went home, they got to Ziklag, the city that the Philistines had given them, and they found out that all their wives and children had been taken and their city had been burned to the ground. And the Bible says that King David and his men wept until they could weep no more. And the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. I'm just saying, do you think David needed breakthroughs? Oh, yeah. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 14, the Bible tells us that when David did become king after King Saul died, that the Philistines wanted to take David out immediately. So they waged war against King David. He's only been king now for just a little while. And the Bible says that King David sought the Lord, and the Lord gave King David insight and strategy. And he went out and battled against the Philistines and won the battle. And the Bible tells us in 1 Chronicles 14 that David says this, "And God gave us a breakthrough like many waters, and so he named the place Baal Perazim." Here's the trick. In Hebrew, you know what Baal Perazim means? Master of breakthroughs. He broke through my enemies like the breakthrough of a dam bursting. If you've ever seen water flood, I mean, it'll knock out forests. It'll pick up cars and move them. David is saying, God is the master of breakthroughs in my life, and he will take out my enemies like the breaking of a dam where the waters just move in power, devastating everything in front of me. Well, for what it's worth, I think the sermon gets better. Because in Psalm 103, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." It's an interesting psalm. You know, I used to sing this song and quote this psalm. I think I've read it maybe 100, probably 500 times. I've sung, "Bless the Lord, O my..." Any of you sung that song? "And all that is within me, bless his holy..." You know, I said in the earlier service, I kind of sing that song like there's fat little angels, or, you know, like cherubim around that are floating, and it's just so neat and peaceful and angelic. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." It all sounds so peachy. I don't think that's what's going on in this psalm. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. I think David, who lived a pretty intense life and had his back against the wall like you and I do all the time, came to realize that the only way he could live in the shadow of the Almighty was to bless the Lord. That if he was really going to experience and live before this master of breakthroughs, that he was going to have to bless the Lord. And I don't think this is kind of angelic talk here. I think David is doing some self-talk. Can you hear it? "Bless the Lord, O my soul." I think David is picking his soul up by the bootstraps. I think he's saying to his soul, "You're going to bless the Lord. O my soul, you are going to bless the Lord, David. You're going to bless the Lord." You may not feel like it. You might feel afraid. You might feel intimidated. You might feel hurt. You might feel angry. You might feel lonely. You might feel helpless. You might feel shame. But you know something? You're going to bless the Lord. You're going to walk over here. You're going to quit agreement with that guy. And you're going to come on over here to where God is, the master of breakthroughs. And you're going to bless the Lord. "I'm going to bless the Lord." No, I'm not just going to bless the Lord, even though I feel as cruddy as I do. You're going to bless the Lord. In fact, everything can that is within you. Yeah, with the payment due, with the doctor's diagnosis, with the relationship that's torn up, with the addiction, everything within me is gonna bless the Lord. I'm not looking for feelings here. I'm just standing in the will of God. I'm gonna just stand over here in the will of God, even though I feel cruddy. I'm just gonna stand here in the will of God, and I'm gonna make my soul bless the Lord. I think it gets even better, because I've learned from experience, and I'm not a works guy. For those of you new to faith, I'm not the kind of guy that thinks that you have to get up and do 25 spiritual push-ups before God likes you. God loves you without the push-ups. God loves you. But one thing that happens when I take the discipline to break agreement with him and come over here and make agreement with God? This is what I've noticed in myself and in other people who are mature believers. When I do that, something happens within me that confidence rises in my soul. This isn't works. This isn't getting God's approval. Have you ever wondered, truly wondered, what Jesus meant when he said, "You ask me for stuff, but you don't ask me in faith"? Like, nothing's going to happen until you move to that place of spiritual confidence. And this is what I've learned in my own life. When I break agreement with him and I come over here and make agreement with God against everything I feel, something goes on inside my soul that becomes electrified in faith. I grow in confidence so that I can understand the words of 1 John in chapter 5. He says, "And know this, you have confidence when you ask anything in his will, because you know when you're asking in his will, he hears you and he will give you what you're asking for." How do I know I'm asking in his will? Because I'm in his will. I'm over here in his will. You see what I'm saying? When you're in his will, you're confident that you're asking. You know, I've never met anybody worship God on their way to the saloon. It doesn't work that way. Paul wrote to the church in Rome, and he said this, "I beseech you, therefore, Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice. This is your reasonable worship." Now watch this. Then he said, "When you do that, your mind will be transformed, and you'll be able to know God's good, perfect, good, pleasing, and perfect will." Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, if you want to look it up. What's Paul saying to the church in Rome? Just what I said. If you worship God with your whole being to the extent that you're actually willing with your body to make it holy to God, it's pretty hard to pick things that aren't God's will. I mean, it's just downright nearly impossible. When you're worshiping God, it's pretty hard to be snarly with your spouse. When you're worshiping God, well, I could go on and on with examples, but I don't need to. You get what I'm saying. Over here, I'm in God's will. Over there, I'm not. Over here, God gives breakthroughs. Over there, he doesn't. Over here, I have confidence because I'm in God's will. Over there, I have no confidence. I throw up weak-limbed prayers that don't get answered. Over here, I can't tell you that over here you're going to get your breakthrough today. I'm not going to pretend that I would know the answer to that. Anybody who would say they do, I think, is on pretty shaky ground. God is the only one who knows when the breakthrough is going to come. But I can tell you this, your chances of breakthrough are way better over here than they are over there. They won't happen over there. They will happen over here. I don't know when they're going to happen, but until they happen, I'm going to keep praising God. Because as I continue to praise God, I know that I'm in his will. And when I'm in his will, that's where God blesses. And when I'm in his will with his blessing, I have way more confidence to pray in faith. There's a prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus in chapter 1. And he basically prays this. He says, I really pray that you will experience all wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you could know the power that's available to you from God, which is the same power that God used when he raised Jesus from the dead. Can we just take 30 seconds and think about that? Because I can guarantee you, if you don't get wisdom and revelation, the eyes of your heart opened, you're not going to get that. There's just no way. I mean, that's just a sentence or two that's just going to, it's absolutely going to escape you. But if you could really have the revelation of God today and the eyes of your heart open, that power is available to you who believe. I just absolutely, my spirit absolutely quivers inside me at the reality of it. That the power that raised Jesus from the dead. I'm going to tell you something, church. Every imp in hell, all of Satan's forces, they were on full alert. Jesus had died and he was in the grave, and they had every ounce of every form of darkness concealed around that tomb to keep him there, that he would not rise. There was every bit of power that the dark side had unleashed to keep Jesus in the grave, and it could not. Everything, all of the forces of hell could not stop him. He rose from the grave.
Power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory and praise, power and strength. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. It all revolves around your throne. Who can know your glory?